What are you doing right now in your practice in a non-protocol setting as it relates to trastuzumab? I guess, first of all, in terms of which patients you're targeting, and I guess one of the areas is node negative that there's a lot of controversy in.
Well, we were in the HERA trial, so that's what we were doing, and we've kind of stuck with that. We are seeing patients after chemotherapy. We have their HER2 results then. We have it on everybody now, which we didn't a year or two ago. We have it on everybody, and we're offering Herceptin following chemotherapy for those patients. There's no reason that we might not have chosen to give. I think the other option, clear option, is if you're giving a regimen like AC-Taxol, is to give the Herceptin with the Taxol. There's a couple of just logistic issues around that. One is that there hasn't been data on dose-dense AC-Taxol accompanied by Herceptin. Now, I think there's pilot data at this meeting, and it seems, at least in a preliminary way, to be safe. So that may be an appropriate thing to do. But we made the decision to give the chemotherapy first and follow with the Herceptin. The one thing we've done that's different than HERA is we are giving radiation concurrently with Herceptin now, which we didn't do in the HERA trial. It seems that there's quite a bit of data suggesting it's a pretty safe thing to do. And so if people are having radiation following their chemo, we give the Herceptin with the radiation.
I see a lot of confusion in oncologists looking at the HERA data and then the NCCTG data that shows, or that they feel shows, that it's far better to use concurrent therapy.
It's another example of puzzling data that doesn't quite fit together because the hazard ratio of the improvement in the HERA study is very similar to the hazard ratio of the better arm of the NCCTG study. And one almost wonders whether releasing that data this early was the right thing to do, because I think it's a bit unclear whether that data is really meaningful yet or not.
The intergroup data.
The intergroup data.
There were relatively few events, but yet the numbers look pretty impressive.
Yeah, one has to think about whether this was an unprotocoled interim analysis, and one has to think about whether if someone looked at that analysis and it were negative, they would probably not have released that data. But because the peak was positive, the data got out. And that's why we have protocol times for interim analyses, so that you can't analyze it every week and release it when the data's positive. And I'm not saying that that's what they did, but I think that's in the end kind of what happened. And it's unclear to me yet how to interpret that data. I'm sure that in the United States, it's probably become much more common to use the Herceptin with the taxane. Now, I thought the most fascinating paper of this whole meeting has been the Finnish study, Heikki Joensuu's study, where they randomized in the beginning between docetaxel and vinorelbine,
right,
and showed the superiority of the docetaxel, which has not been done before. And then they took the HER2 overexpressing patients and randomized them to Herceptin or not, whether they got vinorelbine or docetaxel. And it was actually given at the same time. And they're showing this big, smacking effect that's very similar to all the other studies, with only 9 weeks of Herceptin given concurrently either with vinorelbine or with docetaxel. And I think that's a fascinating study. It raises the suggestion that maybe, again, that giving it with the chemotherapy is somehow more effective. They put the anthracycline, the CEF or FEC, for 3 cycles, I think, after, and that seemed to be okay and safe. Although